Alright, I apologize. I only have about 45 minutes before I have to go. Tomorrow we'll have a longer Seder, and maybe we'll cover some more ground. But let's try to get through the first blot if we can. Because otherwise we're going to get ourselves into a lot of trouble later in the week. That's the minhag. It's also part of minhag stolel to chase ourselves to the end. But we'll find a way, Mirtz Hashem, to get it done. Okay, so just very quickly, yesterday we mentioned that there's a mitzvah called Shmiras HaMikdash. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's found in Parshas Korach. Perek Yudches, the first 8 psukim or so describe this mitzvah. We'll get into those psukim today a little bit in the first daf. And we spoke out yesterday that what really, you know, the Mefarshim discuss what is the reason behind this mitzvah. Why do we have a mitzvah called Shmiras HaMikdash? So he pointed out the Rosh, who says and reminds us initially the first thing to always remember is that we do mitzvahs because Hashem said so. And why do we have mitzvah Shmiras HaMikdash? The Rosh says it's a Gzeras HaKasuv. Okay, we could really stop there and be satisfied with such an explanation. But the Rosh himself goes on and others go on as well. The Rambam, which we mentioned in Hilchos Beis HaBechir, in the 8th parak, the Rambam says the purpose of this mitzvah is not because of robbers. V'afal pi she'ein sham pachad mei oivim v'lo milistim ein shmiraso ela kavod lo. The purpose of the shmira is that it should serve as a kavod. And we pointed out the diuk of the Kol Sofer, who says in the opening Mishnah, b'shloshim makomos kohanim shomer beis hamikdash. There are 3 places the kohanim are shomer in the beis hamikdash. Does it say they're shomer the beis hamikdash? Are they protecting the beis hamikdash? They're not shomer es hamikdash as the Kol Shomer, they're shomer b'beis hamikdash. They happen to be guarding, stationed in the mikdash, as a sign of kavod. Now that doesn't mean, as we pointed out, that it's a joke. Right? We saw the Teshuvas Avnei Nezer in Yerideya 449, Taf Mem Tes, Sifkat and Dalet, where the Avnei Nezer says, once you're doing the Shmira, it has to be legit. You have to protect the Kalim. Not that, again, that we're concerned someone's going to steal the Kalim. But once we're doing it, we have to do it in an authentic way. And the Ezra's Kohanim added that the locations of Shmiras HaMikdash are also going to be based on the places that are most susceptible to robbery. Are we concerned that there's actually going to be a robber? No. But again, once I'm setting up shop to protect the Mikdash, even as a sign of Kavod, I'll do so in a way that gives the impression that this is a serious, you know, group of guards who are in fact protecting the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the school of thought of Kavod. We ended last night by saying Pashut Pshat, if you look in the Pesukim in Parshas Korach, Pashut Pshat seems that what's the purpose of Shmiras HaMikdash? To keep out people who don't belong there. Right? That a czar, that a non-Kohen, or anyone who's not entitled to walk into certain areas of the Mikdash, depending on your status, be it Tumah, be it Tara, be it Yisrael, be it Kohen, Levi, be it man or woman. So we have these checkpoints in order to keep people from wandering into the wrong place. That's Rashi on Chumash, and that's what the Gra brings in his notes on the Mishnayos. Okay, I said we would talk just very briefly also about the time for Shmiras HaMikdash, because there's a big discussion, when is Shmiras HaMikdash performed? So I heard some of you reading the Mefarish. The commentary on the side of the Gemara and Talmud is known as the Mefarish. Who he was is a bit of a discussion. Even after we figure out exactly what his name is, that still may not mean very much to us, but he's seemingly one of the Balei HaTosos, from the time period of the Balei HaTosos, of Yitzchak Bar Baruch, of Baruch Bar Yitzchak, based on Shitos that are quoted elsewhere. We can try to line them up with comments of the Mefarish that we have in front of us, but the Mefarish is an important commentary. The Rush, we have on the side of the page, gives a running commentary in the style of Rashi. And I would recommend using the Rush if you want to get a clear, quick overview of the consistent shitos of learning Maseches Talmid. I would stick with the Rush, but the Mefarish has obviously a lot to add. So the Mefarish writes, about 8 lines down in the right-hand column,
It's not bolded.
The line that begins with the word Lebeis HaMikdash, he says, Shayu Shomrim Yom V'Layla. He would guard day and night. The Rosh says the same thing. The Shmiras HaMikdash applies day and night. Rashi in Divrei HaYamim says the same thing. And the Chavetz Chaim, in his commentary, which I'll also just do a little introduction, you know, educate ourselves in the Svar. Chavetz Chaim wrote a work called the Lukutei Halachos. What is it? He basically took the Mesechtos that the Rif did not write his synopsis on, and he basically wrote a shorthand. You know, as if Talmud wasn't short enough, 8.5 blot, he decided to make it shorter. He wrote the main points of Maseches Tamid, mamash in the style of the Rif, including some halacha lamaisa in the way of the Rif. There's a commentary on the bottom called Zevach Toda, where he has longer explanations and also a running commentary along the side, which could be straight out of the Mefarsh, I'm not sure. It's some other haros on the bottom, but it's an important sefer to be aware of. So in the Zevach Toda, he also seems to say, yeah, they guarded the Beis Hamikdash day and night. These checkpoints that we'll describe today were guarded on a nightly and a daily basis. Okay, but there are many, many other Rishonim. I guess the Rambam would be one of the primary authorities on this matter, and the Sefer HaChinuch as well. Bartanura, Rabbeinu Shmaya, and the Mishnayis, and Maseches Midos. The Ramban on Chumash says this way, that Shmiras HaMikdash is at night. And I'll just read you the words of the Rambam. The Rambam says, this is in Hilchos Beis HaBechir, in the 8th parak, this is Halacha Beis, Ushmir azu mitzvasa kol halayla. The mitzvah takes place throughout the entire night. Says the Mishnah Lamelech on that Rambam, Pesach Bechira 8:2. He says, "Hamafarish lemeseches tamid kasav dashmira haisabayom uva layla." He quotes the Mafarish. The Mishnah Lamelech says, "I see that some say that shmiras hamikdash applies day and night." Ach Rabbeinu Shmaya. Rabbeinu Shmaya in his commentary on the Mishnayos and Midos, Kosav Deshmira Haisa Balaila, V'cheinu Das Partenura on the Mishnayos. And that's what the Rambam is writing right here, says the Mishnah Lamelech. V'divrei HaMafarish Tmuim Heim Be'inah. He says, I do not understand where the Mafarish got this idea that Shmira Samikdash applies day and night. But again, bearing in mind that there are other Rishonim who felt that it should apply day and night. And the Minchas Chinuch in Shin Pei Ches, which is the first place that we find the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. Again, we said there's an asay and a lav, Shin Pei Ches and Shin Tzadi Aleph. So the Minchas Chinuch says, he quotes the Rabbah, and he quotes the Mefarish, and he quotes the Mishnah LeMelech, and he quotes the Be'er Sheva, another important sefer that we'll introduce, the Be'er Sheva, you should know about the Be'er Sheva, the Talmud of the Maharal, I believe.
Where's the Minchas Chinuch?
The Minchas Chinuch is in Shin Pei Ches, it's in Parshas Korach, mitzvah Shmiras HaMikdash. And this is in his first os. He has this discussion about the Zman of the Shmira. So he quotes the Rambam, he quotes the Mefarish, he quotes the Mishnah LeMelech, who says, I don't understand the Mefarish. He quotes the Be'er Sheva, Rav Yisachar Dov Be'er Eilenberg, who says also, I don't understand. How could that be? The Rambam says it's only at night. The Smag says it's only at night. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch and says, time. Why should it only be at night? Why should Shmiras HaMikdash only be at night? He says, Tzarechi, I'll go the other way on the Mishnah Lamelech. Right? You're saying, oh, it's very strange. The Mefarish is very strange. I'll tell you the Rambam is very strange. Why should Shmiras HaMikdash only be at night? L'didi Tzarechiyan. Adrabba. Minon de'ina el belayla. Why would you think we only protect the base of Mikdash? Especially, according to Rambam, you say the reason is for Kavod. So shouldn't the Kavod of the Mikdash be that 24 hours a day, there are guards stationed as a sign of Kavod for the Mikdash? The Rabbi, you yourself, Kevan she'enu b'nei pachad el b'nei akavod, de'enu doma platrin, like you told us, Rambam. You quoted the Lashon of the Sifrei Zuta, that says what? That you can't compare a palace with guards to a palace without guards. Good, so Rambam, l'shitaso, shouldn't it be that it's day and night? Puchazi de platrin shamalachim, yeshom b'yom gamkin. Go look at any palace, you'll see that any palace has guards. You only have guards at night. And if you'll tell me that the Mishnah presents what? You open up the Masechta, you learn the Masechta, it talks about Shmiras HaMikdash at night. The Maseches Tamid begins with the story of the Beis HaMikdash at night. He says, that's not a raya. And if you'll tell me that in Maseches Midos, it talks about the Ish HaRabayis walking around, beating up Kwan who are falling asleep at night, that's also not a raya. Why? Because Orcha de Milsanaka. Yeah, it was common that people fell asleep at night. We're presenting one day in the life of the Mikdash. So we focus on the Shmiras HaMikdash at night, but that's not a raya that it's limited to night. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I don't understand this whole list of Rishon. You can quote all you want, the Rambam, the Chinuch, the Bartanura, it's not really Rishon. Rabbeinu Shmaya on the Mishnayos, they all say it's only at night. Rabban al Chumash, that's very nice, but he says, I have no understanding of why it should only be at night. I have yet to see an explanation, he says. Ve'efshar matzu be'ezer b'raisa v'tzarchi. That's how the Minchas Chinuch leaves the tzarchi, and I have no understanding of why it should be limited tonight. So let's think about this for a second. Why should it only be limited tonight? Let's work within the Shita that Shmiras HaMikdash is for the purpose of Kavod. Yes, tell us. If it's for kavod, why should it only be at night? Pashto says if it's kavod, it should be all. What did you say?
I'm already doing it there in the day. You're a builder.
Oh. Okay, so the Pharisees saw. Yeah.
Maybe there's an idea of saying it's not kavod. These people are set aside to do this job. Meaning the Khan argue avoda, but we.
Okay.
Some learning. They're staying by the gates. They're in certain spots, not necessarily doing anything, just guarding.
Right. So this has to be the kvias has to be with guarding, right. not just stand the basement. This should be. Okay, so, all right, so you could argue on, but Tiferes Yisrael says what Gabbai Mike'son says. Tiferes Yisrael, in the first Boaz, and the Yachan, I don't have the Mishnah, I'm going to have to get those, the Yachan and Boaz Mishnah. In the first Boaz, he says, I can give you a beautiful explanation why you only need guards at night. The whole point of the kavod of the Mikdash is that the Mikdash never sleeps. Mikdash never sleeps. Mikdash is always active. In the Midcha, in the Olas Tamid, I think this is the last Sefer I've been introduced this morning. The Olas Tamid is a very important sefer to know. We mentioned last night a little pamphlet I had from the Munkatra called Olas Tamid. This is an important sefer on all of Maseches Tamid by the Baal Aruga Sabosa, or Moshe Greenwald. He wrote a commentary called Olas Tamid. It has Ha'aros on the bottom called Minchas Tamid, also by Rav Moshe Greenwald, his grandson, who picked up where, what?
So it's Greenwald, or like Simon's contemporary?
I don't know. That I don't know. This was put out, you can see here at the bottom, it says it was put out by Pinchas Elimelech Greenwald. Pinchas Elimelech Greenwald is a very sweet Jew. He lives in Muncie. I hang out with him sometimes because there's a base medrash in Muncie called the Aruga Sabosa, some beautiful Osir Svarim they have. And I became friendly with him. When I worked in Tuvia's one summer, he came in. And Yitzi, for those who've been to Tuvia's know Yitzi. So Yitzi told me, oh, that's a great grandson of the Aruga Sabosa, because he knew I was interested in the Svarim. So then we became friendly, whatever. He gave me some Svarim over the years. We hang out. Told me some beautiful Divrei Torah over the years. So he's a very, very nice Jew who lives in Muncie. So he put this out. He put this out in Tav Shem Lamed Tes. But the Olas Tamid says, very interesting, in one of the first pieces, he says, the whole idea of Shmir Samikdash, he says, why do I need a mitzvah of Shmir Samikdash? Right? Meaning, why do I need a pasuk to tell me Shmir Samikdash? Shouldn't I have kind of figured this out on my own? That this is, if you're going to give me this measure, you can't compare a palace that has guards to one without guards. What do I need a special mitzvah, Shmiras HaMikdash? Isn't it somewhat obvious that there should be such a thing? So he has a beautiful heart. He says, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinei lo yinom, right? Lo yinom v'lo yishan, Shomer Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always on guard. Hashem is the Shomer Yisrael. So if not for the Gezeiras HaKasav, what would you have thought? You would have thought it's inappropriate. I'm going to guard the Ribono Shel Olam's house. Hashem needs me to guard his house. So therefore comes along the Torah and gives us a heter. Right? It's a heter to guard the house. Yeah, ein anios b'makom ashiros. We're not worried things are going to get stolen. We can easily replace them. Okay. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a special heter, despite the fact that it's seemingly irrelevant to guard the house. Hashem gives us a heter. He says, I want you, in many ways, like we like the menorah, what do we, Hashem needs our light? But yeah, we do our avodah. It's a heter to guard Kiviyachol, the Shomer Yisrael, the one who guards himself. Fine. Good. But getting back to our point. What was our point? What were we talking about? The Tiferes Yisrael. Good. So the Tiferes Yisrael, oh, thank you, says, why do you have guards only at night? So you could say, during the day, the Beis HaMikdash is busy with Avodah, and therefore the Avodah itself is the greatest kavod. At night, when it's quiet, to show that the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's why I got to the Olas Tamid. That just like Hashem never rests, so we never rest. The Beis HaMikdash is always active. There are always things happening. Even if it's just an outward sign of chashivas, we somehow want to create an environment that the Beis HaMikdash is always alive. Okay, so that could be an answer to the Minchas Chinuch's question. Why should there be guards only at night? Because again, the avodah during the day takes the place of that kavod. I'll just offer one other explanation in the Minchas Tamid brings. Yeah, Mzeh.
Just in terms of the age of the Kohanim.
Okay, so that's a big discussion.
So the Farish on the side.
Yeah.
Says that they're Tamim because they really were doing avoda.
Right.
So if you say that it's only at night, which isn't Zman avoda.
Ah. So saying they should be available.
Right.
Also, okay.
It's not a vote. I mean, it makes sense.
So it's a question. No, so when you, it could be, that's a big, you're making a little bit of an assumption that
he is. That he holds all day. That was the Bajra Shafari. That's day and night. Stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing the day. My night.
mean, it's a kid job because they're
right, so during the day, and the kids do it at night, the other ones take over.
Just all I'm saying is, okay, the sheet does that say it's only at night, it's a bigger stretch to say that's right. You could say, right. You could say that.
So we have to still figure out if Shmiras HaMikdash is itself a form of avodah, which will play a big part in that question. If Shmiras HaMikdash is a real avodah, this comes up in the Avdei Nezer's Tshuva in Taf Mem Test, where he talks about Shmiras HaMikdash v'zman hazeh. Is Shmiras HaMikdash shayach v'zman hazeh? Well, is it an avodah? Well, does it require big day kahuna? Okay, so that's a big question. If it's a real avodah, it requires big day kahuna. Well, if it's a real avodah, so then why are little kids doing it, according to those opinions that say that kids under the age of bar mitzvah are doing the avodah? So Minchas Chinuch says, well, maybe we have certain things that can be done even by katana. Right, and then you get into some real lumdus. It's like the famous chakir by Achilas Kachim. Is Achilas Kachim a din that a Kohen who's a bar chiyuv has to eat the Kachim? Or is it just a din that Kachim have to be consumed? So if it's a din that you need a real Kohen who's a bar chiyuv to eat it, so then you can't have a 12-year-old eat it. If it's just a din that Kachim need to be consumed, Kachim that is meant to be eaten, it must be removed, so then anyone can do it. So the same thing, the same chakir is discussed by the Minchas Chinuch here, and the Avdei Nezer in that tshuva. How do we view Shmiras HaMikdash? Is Shmiras HaMikdash a real avodah that could only be done by someone who's bar mitzvah? And we'll see, there's a Gemara in Chul on the Daf Chaf Daled that says that the Kohanim did not allow other Kohanim, didn't allow young Kohanim, technically at 13 you're eligible to do the avodah. But the Kohanim had a system of a hierarchy where until you were 20, they didn't let you do anything. That was the rule. You had to have like an initiation period. Until you were 20 years old, you had to climb the ranks. You're disappointed. So until you were 20. So some said, okay, so from 13 to 20, they gave you some of the lesser chashuv avodah. Like what? Like Shmiras HaMikdash. Right? The Rosh even has a funny comment when it talks about the Shmiras HaMikdash taking place on aliyos, in upper chambers. If it took place in upper chambers, so you're going to make what? You're going to make some altar coming and climb up all the way to the upper deck? The Rosh says, you know who we gave it to? We gave it to the young kids. Why did we give it to young kids? Because they were very quick to go climb up to these watchtowers to hang out. Yeah, Rav Corey?
It's something that we're supposed to do in the base of Mikdash, regardless of how old you are, you're going to
want
to do it.
Okay, Kohanim's reason. Okay. Yeah. The Rosh assumes that the young Kohanim are going to be more zealous to climb to the rooftops to get a view of Har HaBayis.
They could do the older. I don't know if that means they'd be more zar.
Okay. All right, maybe. We'll have to see exactly who these rovim are. We're opening up a big piece here. But let me just add the Minchas Tamid. Because the Minchas Tamid has an interesting thing. He says, Lulei de Mistafina, I would add a new understanding of Shitas HaRambam. Because again, the Rambam says Shmiras HaMikdash is by day, is only by night, I'm sorry, and the reason is kavod. So comes along the Minchas Tamid and he says, hold on a second. He says, first of all, open up Divrei HaYamim. In Divrei HaYamim, it seems very clear, and the Rosh even quotes this Pasuk, that, where's the Pasuk? It's also in Divrei HaYamim, it's in Melachim Beis also. Ushmartim es Shmeres HaBayis, no, that's not it, where's the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim? That's the Pasuk about not having Hesach Hadas. The Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim says very clearly that the Shmira took place by day. Oh, it's the Pasuk that Mara is going to quote, right? Right. It talks about Layom. It talks about the Tzfona Layom. It talks about the arrangement of the Levian. So it says that they dafka did it by Yom. How about Alcho Mosayach Yerushalayim? If Kadati Shomrim, Kol Yom Kol Laila, day and night. So there are sources that indicate that it has to be day and night. So how do you understand Shita Saramba? Could we argue the Rambam also agrees that Shmiras HaMikdash is done by day? So here's what the Minchas Tamid wants to suggest. He says, open up the Rambam more in Nefuchim. If you open up Rambam Hilchus Beis HaBechira, what's the reason for Shmiras HaMikdash? Again, the Rambam says, we're not worried about robbers. Ein Shmiraso Ela Kavod Lo. Shmiras HaMikdash is about Kavod.
This is which one?
This is the Rambam in Hilchus Beis HaBechira 8.1. But he says the Minchas Tamid, open up the Rambam to the third chelik of the Mor Nevuchim, where the Rambam is very clear. The Rambam brings both reasons for Shmiras HaMikdash. Rambam says kavod. What's the other reason? The other main reason is, like the Psukim seem to say, to keep out foreigners, to keep out Toma. Rambam quotes both. So says the Minchas Tamid, Lulei de Mistafina, I would say the following. He says, I would suggest the following. When the Rambam is writing in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he's only talking about, the Rambam really agrees Shmiras HaMikdash is day and night. He really agrees like those Rishonim hold day and night. Ah, why does he only present night here? And everyone's going crazy defending the Rav. Yes, it's only night. So he says no. And night, it's for Kavod. Why? During the day, when the Beis Hamikdash is open and the gates are open and people are wandering around, so you need people to what? You need people to guard people from wandering. We're not concerned that Yisraelim are going to try to sneak into the Kodesh Kadosh. We're concerned that by accident, someone unwittingly is going to walk into a place where he doesn't. So you need guards to say, "Excuse me, sir. You know, do you realize you're not allowed? I didn't realize I'm not allowed to go past this point." We're not worried about renegade Jews trying to get into places that they don't belong. So during the day when the gates are open, you need people to guard. Right? When the Rambam in Hilchos Beis Bechira is presenting the Shmiras HaMikdash of Kavod, that's why he says it's at night. At night, when the gates are closed, and there's no concern of people wandering around like the Pashup Shad and the Psukim, Zilkar Be'Ravu, go read the Psukim in Parshas Korach, it's clear that we have guards to keep out Tumah. What about at night though, says the Rambam? The Rambam says, I'll tell you, the Shmira of night is rooted in Kavod. It's not to say that Shmira is only at night. The Shmir of Night's about Kavod, and he has a beautiful diuk. Listen to the diuk that the Minchas Tamid makes. The Rambam, again, in Hilchos Beis Bechira, 8.2 says, Ushmira zu mitzvasa kol alayla. What do you mean Shmira zu is all night? This Shmira that I'm describing, the Shmira of Kavod, is dafka at night. But there's another Shmira. There's a Shmira that takes place during the day. And that has nothing to do with Kavod. That has to do with the very practical reason that Rashi and Chumash brings and the Gra recommends in his explanation of the Mishnayos, and that is to keep out Zarim, to keep out foreigners and Tumah from coming into places that doesn't belong in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so this is the two explanations, again, to try to make sense of Shitas HaRambam, either to say, like the Tiferes Yisrael suggests in the Boaz, that why is Shmira only at night? Because by day you don't need Shmira. The Beis HaMikdash, the lively activity of the Beis HaMikdash serves as the kavod by day. Or you could argue, like the Minchas Tamid, that no, the Rambam agrees that there would be a mitzvah of Shmira by day as well. It's just the Shmira by day serves a different purpose. And here the Rambam is describing the Shmira at night, which is only about kavod. It's not about keeping out Tumah, because again, the gates are locked and that's not a concern at night. Okay? All right, that concludes our introduction. Let's learn the Masechta for a few minutes. B'shlosha mekomos b'shem kol Yisrael. Shem Yichud. Kutshu b'yichud shchinti b'tchilu rechim al yachid. Shem yodeh b'vavei b'yichud ishlim b'shem kol Yisrael. B'shlosha mekomos ha-kohanim shomer b'yis ha-mikdash. There are three places that the Kohanim guard in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, a lot of gersos, as a general rule, to be aware. And when you deal in Kachim, there are always gersa changes going on. Mesechus Tamid is no exception. Shita Mekubetzes has a lot of gersa changes. The Bach has gersa changes. So I'll try to point out the ones that I know that are most important. But everything is subject to debate. So let's add over here, B'shloshim Mekomas Kohanim Shomer Beis HaMikdash, B'Beis, we'll add the Shita Mekubetzes' change, B'Beis Avtinos, right, or B'Beis Avtinos, B'Beis HaNitzos, U'B'Beis HaMoked. In the Beis Avtinos, Beis HaNitzos, and Beis HaMoked. Okay, Beis Avtinos, Avtinos we'll see is a family name. Nitzos means the chamber, the room of rays, right, like a ray of light. Nitzos, a spark chamber. And Beis HaMoked means the flame room or the flame chamber. Okay, let's just take out some pictures. For those who have pictures, we'll share. For those who don't, okay, good. That table has. Okay, I'll share with this side of the room. This is a picture of the Beis HaMikdash. We're gonna take the Artzul. The Artzul has.
There you go. There's a fold out. There you go.
Okay, but I'll hold it up so we can try to just orient ourselves on directions. Here's the Kodesh HaKadosh to the west, on the right-hand side of the picture. Or I guess depending on which way your picture is situated. Okay, on my picture, it's on the right-hand side. That's to the west, that's the Kodesh HaKadosh. Here's the Heichal, here's the Ulam, the antechamber in front of the Heichal, steps leading up to the Ulam. Here's the big outer Mizbeach. Okay, this is east, this is north, this is south. And the top is south. To the right is west. Two of these chambers are... I should flip it? Everyone, yeah? Okay, so I'll flip.
Fine.
Okay, so I'll flip. I'll flip it over. This works for everyone?
Yeah,
okay.
I guess it's also good because those are the bottom, right?
So now here's the... Yes, that's correct. Yeah, here's the Tavare. Right
no,
over
no. To the top left.
Uh-huh.
To the
middle.
Yeah. Right page.
Where?
Here's oh, yeah, right the first time.
Here's
yeah.
The Koto. Here's the tip.
Yeah. Yeah. More.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Where does he get to?
Here is the Koto.
Here. No, obviously,
it's
Toba.
Yes,
no,
yes.
This is
the Koto. This is the Koto.
This is the Southern Wall Excavation.
Yes, this is Corey's correct.
This is the Koto. I took a history of Yerushalayim this past semester.
He's correct.
Okay? This is the Koto, like this tiny bit right here, and here's Matisse.
Yes, he's correct. Corey is correct. Here's the Koto Skadashi. Okay, no, I'm newly oriented. Yeah, okay, on the left we have the west, the Koto Skadashi. Fine. So based on our current view of the map, which is upside down in my Mishnayos. Okay, here is the Beis HaMitzvot. You can see it. In the top left corner. You see it says Shaar HaMitzvot and Beis HaMitzvot. To its immediate right is the Beis HaMoked, which is a very large room.
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
37.
If you go now to the bottom of the page, to the south, you see the ramp of the Mizbech, you see the ramp of the Mizbech. If you look carefully by the Shaar HaMayim, you see those three Shaar. On the Shaar HaMayim, you can see where it says Lishchas Beis Avtinus. See that?
What number?
Okay. 34, it looks like.
Yeah, that's a little.
If your numbers are the same as my numbers.
Shulchanos.
Shulchanos, okay, now. 52 in our script.
This way. If you go to the Mefarish says it's not sure.
Right, so that, okay, so the Mefarish points out, okay, so if Sam is correct in pointing out that there's a discussion in the Gemara Yoma Daf Yates where Beis Avtinos is located. Is it in the north or in the south? We assume that it's in the south. So of the three Kohanic lookout points, checkpoints, we have two in the north and one in the south. Beis HaMitzvot and Beis HaMoked are in the north, and the Beis Avtinos is in the south. Okay, just to explain the names. Who are? Well, what is this Lishchas Beis Avtinos? Avtinos was a family. The Gemara describes, not here, but elsewhere, the Gemara describes that the Avtinos family had the secret of Pitam HaKetoras. They knew how to create the Ketoras, how to make the mix. Not only did they know how to make the mix, their specialty was what? Was that they knew how to pack it in such a way that the pillar of smoke would rise in a very direct column without spreading outward. They refused to share this secret with others. It was kept a secret. The Rush describes a little bit about this family over here. But that was the chamber where this was prepared. And that was where the Kohanim were stationed. Okay, how many Kohanim is an important discussion also, not for now, but just to keep in mind, when we talk about Shemiras HaMikdash, we're talking about one Kohen in each location. We're talking about a minion of Kohanim in each location. Gemara will seem to imply, maybe we'll get to it right now, maybe a single Kohen in each location. Others say you have to have at least a minion in each location.
According to the
Shitas,
like the Gron Rashi,
yeah,
it's like
you should just say one Kohen should be enough.
Well,
or no?
I was going to say that not having they're standing on a
okay.
In three locations.
Okay, very good. So Corey's saying, hold on a second. This is totally not practical. You're telling me. Oh, sorry, Zev. Corey was thinking it. Corey made some sound effect in the background. I think it threw him off. So Rafael Zev says, if you're going to tell me that there's a practical reason for Shmiras HaMikdash to keep out Zarim from wandering around, so what, are they going to stand on this lookout tower and call out to people down below? Okay, good. So when we see that there are Kohanim and Levim involved, it could be that maybe we need to split up the responsibilities. It could be that some of the places of Shmiras HaMikdash are rooted in Kavod, and some of them serve the more practical reason of keeping people from wandering around. So that's an important point that you're raising. The Kohanim are the three Kohen checkpoints are all elevated areas, as we'll discuss in a second. Okay, so that's Beis Avtinos, named for the Avtinos family. Beis HaMitzvot, why is it called Beis HaMitzvot? The Mefarish says, I have no idea why. The Rush says, Shaar HaMitzvot over here, top left corner. The Rush says, I'll tell you why it was called Mitzvot. It was built like an open area, like an achsadra, an open porch area, and the rays of light, the sunshine, was able to shine very brightly into that room. It was called the spark room, the sparks of light. Okay? Stole a lot, we've had a lot of jokes about Mitzvot. It's kedai just to hear off your lights comments. The shiur aren't so good, but the background comments are are excellent. As Rafi pointed out, he said, when we were learning the first parak, he said, the first parak is all about sun. What did he say? I texted him the other day. It's about fire, water, and sunlight. I think that was his. He was very into that. Hey, we'll get to that. We have some mikvah time, we have some sunlight. It's very nice. Very pleasant things. Okay, so that's the Beit HaMitzvot. The Beit HaMoked is this very large room over here to the right of the Beit HaMitzvot. You can see that it has four corner chambers. You can also see that there's some type of line separating the room in half. The half that's more, it was built along the wall of the Azara, with half of the room being in a sanctified area of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, and half of it not. So if you picture, you can see it says Chol and it says Kodesh. You see that? Half of it's in the Azara, and half of it's Chol, half of it's outside. And there was a line dividing the room into half. Okay, let's get back to the Mishnah. So these are the three places that the Kohanim guard in the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Avtinos, the Beis HaNitzos, and Beis HaMoked. Beis Avtinos and Beis HaNitzos hayo aliyos. They were built as, like we pointed, upper decks. Whether or not the bottom level was functional, the Gemara will ask. The Harovim Shomrim Sham, and the youngsters, the young Kohanim, again, to be determined exactly how old they were, guarded there. Beis HaMoked Kippa. Beis HaMoked had a dome. So if you take a look at this picture, let's get a good one. Alright, this is not bad. Now you could see it had a dome. There's a bigger one somewhere. Let's see if we can find it. We have to get more picture mishnayos. Maybe we'll splurge and buy a couple for our tzibur. Same. Oh, I should have brought the Midos one also. That has good pictures. Okay, but here, you see?
Yeah.
Okay, Beis HaMoked was perhaps constructed differently. It was not necessarily an aliyah. It was a tall room, but it was a single room. It was not a double-deck room. It was a big, empty room. Again, it had these four corner chambers. And the roof of this room was domed. Why was it domed? Some say for practical reasons, because there was a fire in the room. It was known as the Beis HaMoked, the fire room. Okay? And the Kohanim would come there often to warm themselves, because keep in mind, they were walking around on stone floor, barefoot most of the day. There was not much heating in the Beis HaMoked. There's snow, right? It could be snow. So they needed a place to warm up. That was the Beis HaMoked. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Beis HaMoked Kippa. Ubayez Gadol Hayah. That's it. Oh, they made it gold over there. Okay, very nice.
Not gold, better.
Mukaf Rovdin Shel Even. It was surrounded by slabs of stone. We'll see that these stone layers that were kind of built into the wall of the Beis HaMoked were where the older Kohanim would sleep. They didn't have beds, but they slept on these slabs of stone, which were built like steps going up. Mukaf of the fine. Zikne Beis Av Yeshenim Sham, the older Kohanim of whichever Beis Av was serving that particular day would sleep there. We know there were 24 Mishmaros, and each Mishmar of Kohanim was then divided up into Batei Av. So that means that your family, your Beis Av, would serve one day of the week. So if it was your Mishmar's week, your Beis Av would get Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. So if it was your night, it was your day to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, so the older Kohanim would sleep on these slabs of stone. Umavtechos Azara biyadam, the keys to open up the various chambers of the Azara were in their hand. That doesn't mean they were literally in their hand, but it means it was in their under their control. Pirchei Kohuna, the young Kohanim, Ish Kisto Ba'aretz, the young men would sleep with their sleeping bags on the ground. Okay, again, you can see a picture of this right here. A very nice picture. Get a sense of what it was like. The Kohanim sleeping on the slabs in the wall. Okay, not all the pictures are in agreement. Here it shows them as like steps up and cubbies, almost like cubbies that you slept in. Others show more of like I described, like a staircase of slabs of stone where the Kohanim would sleep.
The kisto, we can be translated as a blankie. It had a lot of different...
A blankie's a good translation.
Different uses.
Yes.
It seems like it had like a lot of different...
That's correct. That's correct. We're going to learn a very important halacha l'maisa thing today. Well, maybe not today. But
we actually have one.
Ah, there you go. Kistov Aretz. Beautiful.
Corey's grandma made that.
Wow, hand woven kistov.
Woven.
Beautiful. So we're going to learn that Karim the Kostos could be brought into the Beis HaMikdash. What I was going to say, it's not appropriate to bring. Why didn't they bring beds? What I was going to say, Lav Orach Ara, it's not appropriate to bring beds into the Beis HaMikdash. So same thing is true for a Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring a bed. Ah, but what can you bring into a Beis HaMikdash? You can bring a pillow. You can even bring a pillow. So if you see someone taking a power nap in the basin, he whips out a pillow, and you feel that's, pasnished. You can maybe argue based on the Rosh's comment that we'll see, that a pillow, based on the Mishnah, you don't need the Rosh. The Mishnah says, as far as beds, it was off limits, but if you want to bring a sleeping bag, if anyone wants to sleep here tonight, sleeping bag and pillow is allowed. Beds are not. I guess we have to discuss blow-up mattresses. That'd be the nafkah.
What about the cushion?
Is it more like the what?
Cushion from the bima.
Cushion from the bima?
Yeah, there's a guy in Shalvin who used to sleep every night on the cushion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Like where they do Hagwa?
Yeah.
Like the Hagwa bench?
Yeah.
Really?
It's been a small guy.
Avadio.
Was he married?
No, Avadio.
He got married, like last year.
So this, does he live on the bima now? The
biggest monster.
No,
biggest monster.
I mean, he didn't even sleep there at night.
Wow. Okay.
We used to have stats about these Israelis. We never, spoke to them or knew anything, but we kept stats.
That's very high. Okay.
Eventually, we broke the barriers.
Lo ayishen b'big day kodesh. They would not sleep in their begadim. They wouldn't sleep in the begadim that they performed the avodah in. Ela hayu poshtin. They would remove them. We'll add the word makalpin. They folded it up. Why does the Shita Mikubetzes bother to tell us they have to fold your clothing? Because a yid has to know how to fold his clothing. That's an important. Can't just throw your clothing around. You have to treat it properly. So they folded it up nicely. They placed it under their heads, which the Gemara will question, how can you sleep on it? You're telling me they're not allowed to go to sleep wearing it, so why are they allowed to sleep on it? You make a pillow out of the begadim that you perform the avodah in. It seems very strange. They would put on their own clothing. They'd bring their own pajamas. And that's how they slept. If one of them became a balkari overnight, Yotze v'holich lo v'mesiva ha'oleches tachas habira. Continuing on to Chavav Amar Aleph, he would walk through the winding staircase that led under the bira. The Rush translates bira as another name for the Beis HaMikdash. It's a machlokas, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in the first daf in Maseches Yoma. Is bira a specific location in the Beis HaMikdash? Is it just another term for the Beis HaMikdash? The Rush, I think, follows Reish Lakish, who says that it's a term for the Beis HaMikdash in its entirety. So there's a winding staircase to go to this underground section of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, what's under there? Neiros Dolken Mikan Mikan. There are candles lighting the staircase on the way down. Achimigil Beis HaTfila. Till he came to the underground mikveh area. Umedura Haisa Shah. There was a fire that was burning there to warm up after you went to the mikveh. There was an honorable bathroom there. Right? A play on Kiviyachol, Mahavdil, Elef, Alfei, Rivavos. I don't think enough is going to cover it. But, Lamaisa, it's a play on the Kiseh. So we have a base at Kiseh Shekel, the honorable bathhouse.
This is all under the base of Mubin?
This is all under the base of Mikdash. Exactly where it's located, it is under the base of Mokin. But it runs even under the... It can run under the Azar. That's basically what the point of telling us. It's not a problem of being underground. I mean, the underground areas, the Beis HaMikdash, were not sanctified. The Aliyos were also not sanctified. Which is why it's a convenient place to do Shmiras HaMikdash, because...
What exactly are the Aliyos?
What are the Aliyos? It's just this upper... It's an upper deck, which they would stand upon to do Shmiras HaMikdash. The advantage of having an upper deck, according to some, is that you can sit down. You're not allowed to sit if you're on the ground floor. So they built these upper areas so that the Kohanim could rest. Okay, others argue that if sitting is part of the Avodah, the Ravid says, then you're allowed to sit. So apparently part of Shmiras HaMikdash is part of the Avodah is sitting. The Ravid says. I'm not sure why that's part of the Avodah of Shmiras. Sitting, I think, if anything, it's standing.
The Beis HaMikdash was on this side of the
camp? The Beis HaMikdash was not an upper deck. The
sleeping quarters were on the second floor?
No, it was just one big room. It was just like this. It was one big room.
Right, but we just
and it was domed.
You just said that, no. They were allowed
to lie down. So they were allowed to...
They weren't allowed to sit down?
Oh, because that's...
In the hall. That was on the hall.
Yeah, that's in the hall side of the...
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Over here,
exactly. Okay, here's the staircase descending to the underground area. And here's the underground area.
Wait, that was in the Har Habayis?
Yeah. This is under Har Habayis. It's under the Azara. This could be under the Azara. It's not a problem.
It's still there today.
Yeah, it could still be there today.
Okay.
It's so cool.
Yeah, here's the base Kisei Shal Kavod. Why was it called the honorable bathroom? No, underground has no Kedusha.
It was never sanctified. Could a Zara go there, or like, is it part of Har Habayis?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to get to it through the base of Mokade. I mean, could a Yisrael who wants to tour this area, could he get there?
Yeah.
The Pashtus is probably yes.
You don't need to get there, no. You go through the hole.
The exit out. There were two doors. The base of Mokade had two doors. The base of Mokade had a door that entered into the Azara, and then a door exiting out towards Har Habayis. So you could walk, Mistama, yeah. I mean,
the entrance to the tunnel was.
No, I think they exited out of the Azara.
If you enter from the north, you can go in just fine.
Out of Bushra.
Seems that way. Well, he's gonna. Yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second. But let's just see what the basic Kisei Shel Kavod is about. Zaya Kvodim. This was the Kavod. Matza Naul Yodea Sheyesh Shamatim. This was a bathhouse, a bathroom that had a lock. A chiddush, a bathroom with a lock. Right? If it was locked, you knew someone was inside. Patuach B'yidua Sheyesh Shamatim. Beautiful. So no one walked in on anyone. That was covered. Covered of brios. Why do you need a bathroom? So the Rush brings, it's based on a Mishnah of Mikvos in the 8th parak, that a person who's a Baal Keri has to go to the bathroom before he goes to the mikvah. Because if you're a Baal Keri and you go to the mikvah and then go to the bathroom afterwards, as you go to the bathroom, you're rebatama yourself. So in order to cleanse the body, first one has to relieve himself, and only then can he go to the mikvah. So that's one of the reasons, besides the practical reason that they just needed the bathroom for the Kohanim, but the additional reason of a Baal Keri needing the bathroom before he goes to the mikvah. If it was locked, you knew someone was there. If it was open, you knew that it was available to you. Yared v'tavol, a person would then go to the mikvah, all of it is stopping, he would come out of the mikvah and dry off. In case you're wondering if drying off is part of the avoda, it's not. The Mefarshim didn't bother to tell us you don't have to dry off. It's just normal to dry off. And he would go and sit and warm up with the other Kohanim and wait for the day to begin.
So that's
what
they would hack. They would hack on this one.
What did
you
say?
They would hack warming up.
Yeah, you can see. There's actually a picture of the hack right here. You can see the chavra. This is the early morning hack.
The Schwitz.
It was the Schwitz. It was warming up. Yeah, nice road.
Wait,
yeah, I don't know. Sidkas would probably put a coffee station in.
Would all the Kohanim go there, or just the...
So every Kohen had to be... Yeah, so every Kohen would... We're speaking about someone who became a Baal Keri. It could be in the middle of the night he realizes he's a Baal Keri, and he wants to deal with it immediately. So he sneaks down to the mikvah in the middle of the night.
If all Kohanim go to the mikvah, why are we specifically talking?
Why are we highlighting the Baal Keri?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a chiddush in the Baal Keri in the sense that this next line is sort of this was part of that. I'm not 100% sure how to answer that question, but the next line that says what? Bava yashav lo etzel achav kohanim atzai sha'arim niftachim yotze v'holech lo is a chiddush. The Rishonim, in here and elsewhere, in other Masechtos, Tosfos, in a bunch of places, brings from Rabbeinu Tam, that there's a big discussion. How can... Okay, good. So what happened? So he's Tamei, right? If a person's Tamei on Har Habayis with Tumas Keri, what does he need to do? He needs to leave Har Habayis. What do we have? What happens here? This fellow, he goes down to the underground mikvah. So he goes to an unsanctified area. Then he comes back upstairs to an area that has greater Kedusha than where he is. And he stays there for the remainder of the night until what? Until the gates open, and then he leaves. Normally, a person who becomes Tameh has to leave immediately. So what's going on here? Why are we allowing this Baal Keri to remain?
Absolution.
So some say it's...
He left immediately. He went right to the mikvah.
So he came back.
No, but he still has to fully on. He has to wait until sunset to complete his process. He has the day off. This guy's off for the day. Mishnayis Midos, there's some funny things about the relationship between him and the other Kohanim, and you know... And you kind of know he's taking off for the day. Kind of figured out why he's taking off for the day. It gets a little interesting. But how can he go back upstairs and wait for... How can he go back upstairs and wait for... Why doesn't he have to leave in the middle of the night? Right, so some say, because it's ridiculous to make him leave in the middle of the night, it's not safe. That's what some Rishonim say. Right? Some say the Tumah itself is only of a lesser Tumah, and therefore will allow him to remain until the gates open. I think it's still problematic, though. Because but he still has to leave. He can't even be there. He has to leave Har Bias. But he's still, even though he's not in the Azara, he still has to leave Har Bias.
He waits in the middle of the night with Balkar, why doesn't he just stay down there the entire night?
There's Dusha's Har Bias outside of the Azara. Yes. A different halo.
Sure, there are ten Madrigos of Kedusha. That's the Mishnah at the beginning of Caleb. Right?
And so
he has to go farther out than the Beis Hamokid, even in the whole section of the Beis Hamokid. He has to leave that area. Okay, so the various reasons given. Is it because it's a lesser Tumah? Is it a Kavod Abrios issue that we let him stay a little bit longer? But basically he goes back upstairs until the gates open. And then Yotzev Aholichlo, as all the other Kohanim are entering into the Azara to do what they need to do, he sneaks out the other door, descends to Arabias and returns after that day, although I guess his shift is really over after that day, if you think about it. Heaven only really does one day. Alright, let's try to finish the Mishnah. Unfortunately, I have to go, and we'll have to pick up tomorrow. Mishu rotza litrumas mizbeach, the person who wants to do the mitzvah called trumas hadeshet. We know from Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel that one of the things that takes place, some say on a daily basis, some say as need, and as often as needed basis, is trumas hadeshet, removing a portion of ashes from on top of the mizbeach. And as the Torah says, where do you place it? You place it next to the Mizbeach. Eitz HaMizbeach. Right next to the Mizbeach. So if a person wants the opportunity to have that tzchus of the opening of Voda, of the Truma Sadeshin, Mashkim V'tova Shal Yava Mamuna. He wakes up early, and he goes to the mikvah before the Mamuna comes. Who's the Mamuna? In Maseches Yoma, it describes someone known as the Mamuna, I think his full title is Mamuna Ala Paisos. The one who's in charge of not Tayas Kari now. Mamun al Paisos is the one in charge of the lotteries. Machlokes Tanayim, whether 3 lotteries a day or 4 lotteries a day. But the opening lottery of the day is the lottery to win the zchus of doing the Trumas Hadeshin. If you wanted to be eligible for the lottery, you have to wake up early. Before the lottery drawer comes, you have to go to the mikvah and be ready. So when he comes, you could immediately partake in the lottery. B'chi Be'ez Hashah B'hamamuna. What time did the Mamuna used to come? Lo kol yitim shavuos. It was not the same time every day. Pal mishu ba mikros hagever or samach lo milafanav o miachav. He would come around the time of kros hagever, which either means the rooster's crow, or the kros hagever. Gever, one opinion in the Gemara, Yom Gever is milashon gavra, the caller, right? The gavra who was kros, who was in charge of wake up, which for some would have been Kori, right? To go around to wake up the chevra. So the Mamuna would come a little bit before, a little bit after wake up, depends on the day, but you had to be ready. You had to be out of bed, dressed, gone to the mikvah, and ready to go. When the Mamuna would arrive, Mamuna above a dafakale, and he would come and he would knock on the gate, the hein paschulo, they would open the door and let him in. Amar lahen, he would say to them, Misha Tavol, Yavo v'yafis. Anyone who went to the mikvah is eligible to come to the lottery. Hey Fisu, they had the lottery. Misha Zacha, Zacha Bo. And the winner takes all. The winner gets the zchus of starting the avoda of the Truas Hadeshen, the removing of the ashes from upon the Mizbeach to place it next to the Mizbeach.
What was the lottery process?
What was the lottery process? Okay, so. I have to go now. So we're going to. It's the finger, yeah, it's the finger game. It's the finger game.
And it could be more than one person was ready.
Could you put yes. two fingers in?
There's some of them are more than
not really. It's not like one, the second
one. One or two fingers. And the Cohen would pick a number, yeah. They're cheating their thumbs.
So everyone do two, it doesn't make sense.
No, because the Cohen would pick
a better chance.
Can do two.
No, because let's say you have 15 guys in the circle. You have 15 guys in the circle, and the Cohen says, okay, finger 613 wins. So if you could cheshbon it out quickly, and the Cohen wouldn't tell you where you're starting from.
If we're going to put out two, you always have a better chance.
Yeah,
No, it's gonna go around. It could go around many times until the.
You have two chances to go on your fingers.
No, let's say there are X amount. It's a mathematical equation, but not necessarily. It depends. Because if you go around. Okay.